Hi, everyone. Welcome to Movies with My Mother. I am Lexi.
And I'm Mom Lori.
And today we watched Night of the Living Dead, starting off our public domain Halloween series a little early this year, but there's a lot of material, so.
We can.
Yeah.
Yep.
This movie was from 1968. I saw on IMDb, it had an R rating, but I don't think that the copy that we played on video had a rating. So
what would have given it an R rating?
The violence.
Just the violence.
And the gore.
Okay.
And
that one naked guy?
Oh, the naked person, yeah, definitely. Can't read the US movie rating system was instituted November 1st, 1968. This movie was released on October 1st, 1968.
Right.
And is one of the last films released in the U.S. without a rating. So this says it didn't have a rating. IMDb says it was rated R. Who the hell knows?
Well, maybe it was, they rated a bunch of movies that were older.
After the fact.
Right.
Yeah, they did that.
That group of people were pretty forceful.
Yeah.
Yeah, they wanted a lot of stuff rated a lot harder than it was.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Yeah.
You know, the buzz kills.
Right.
The movie's 96 minutes long, and it was directed by George A. Romero.
Yes. And it was also written by George Romero and John Russo. So he's in it all over.
Yeah.
And he produced it.
Well now you've done it. Now you've done it. Well, now it's definitely covered in cat hair.
Well, it always is covered in cat hair because everything around me is covered in cat hair. Valerie tries to do my nails and she has to pick cat hair off of them. And I'm probably the only person that gets their nails done with cat hair.
She was very excited that we did this because she went to school in Pittsburgh?
In Pittsburgh, yeah.
Yeah. So
art school, yep.
So she knows all about George Romero.
Yes.
This movie got a 95% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh wow.
I didn't see a Metascore.
You know what? I didn't either.
And it got 7.8 out of 10 on IMDb.
There's another one. That's kinda low, but
yeah.
I think we have to start thinking about those sevens as high.
Well, I think in terms of this movie, it is kind of high because with the glut of zombie movies that have come out in even the last 20 years.
Yeah.
Just zombie this, zombie that, Walking Dead, Walking Dead, Walking Dead. You know, this kind of leaves a movie like this in the dust.
Right.
Even though so much is taken from this movie to make everything else that has happened subsequently.
Right. Because George Romero is considered the father of zombie movies.
Yeah. Because, I mean, there were zombie movies like in the 30s.
Sure there were.
But that was more of the traditional like voodoo zombie where you're going to be nearly dead, and I'm going to reanimate you to do my chores.
Right.
So this is the actual living dead. This is, you know, the dead rising from the grave.
Right. Right. And this particular movie was what is considered the main contribution to the idea of zombie movies.
Okay.
So, you know, that's says a lot.
Yeah.
You know, that this little movie made such an impression on filmmaking.
The whole zeitgeist.
Yes.
Just, yeah.
Yeah.
It had a budget of about $114,000.
I think I read that somewhere also.
And I read two different worldwide gross dollars. IMDb and Wikipedia had vastly different numbers.
And you know, I did not write them down, so you tell me.
IMDb said it was $36,923 was the worldwide gross.
200,000?
236,000.
1968?
I mean, that's still a lot of money.
Yeah, that would have been quite a bit of money then.
But Wikipedia said that there was a worldwide gross of $30.2 million. Which I feel like, all told, from 1968 to now, with all the merchandise and all the shit that came with it.
Right.
You know.
And the fact that there's a whole series of Night of the Living Dead movies.
Yeah.
Maybe, do you think that might have been? Well, I don't know. That wouldn't be enough for all of them.
Right.
But that would be enough to get, well, you know, I wonder, did, you know, sometimes when you look at money, it says that it's
adjusted for inflation.
Adjusted, yeah.
Yeah.
Was it an adjusted figure?
It didn't say.
Oh, then it wasn't. So then 30 million, that's a lot of money.
But, you know, starting off at you know, if 236,000 is the starting off point from, you know, 1968, 1969, to get to 30 million today,
yeah,
that's not a lot.
No, no. Because 1968 was a really long time ago.
Yeah.
I remember 1968.
I'm not going to do the math in my head. I'm not good at it.
Well, I was born in 56, so it's 12 years. 12 years minus 68 is 56. 6 and 50. Okay, 56. No, it had to be longer than that.
Uh-uh.
Okay. 68 was not a good year here in Toledo.
Okay.
We had some riots.
Oh.
It came down from Detroit. But that's, you know, that was a long time ago. And money was way different back then.
Oh, absolutely.
We kind of talked about it a little last week when, you know, the rent on the apartment that we lived in, and then we moved into a house, and it was like $90 a month, and my parents didn't know if they'd be able to cover it. You know?
Yeah.
What would $90 a month get you here?
Oh, jack shit.
A
few streaming
a 2x3
apps.
Shed.
It wouldn't get you a house. It would get you Netflix and Hulu.
Right. 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 So it was a different time. So maybe that's, you know, we're thinking about the money wrong.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
The basic plot is a ragtag group of Pennsylvanians barricade themselves in an old farmhouse to remain safe from a horde of flesh-eating ghouls that are ravaging the Northeast U.S.
Yikes.
That's about it. That's what I got.
Yeah. Oh. Well, let's face it, that is exactly what happened. How that girl got to that house, and how that man got to that, how any of those people got to that house.
Yeah.
You know, it's amazing. So, yeah. Interesting.
The cast is Dwayne Jones, Judith O'Day, Carl Hardman, Marilyn Eastman, Keith Wayne, Judith Ridley, and Kira Shawn are basically the people that you see the most of.
Right. Which I don't recognize any of those names at all.
Dwayne Jones did a movie called Ganja and Hess that was an allegory of about addiction framed as a vampire movie.
Yeah, you had told me that, yeah.
And it's the slowest fucking movie I've ever watched in my life. I had to turn it off because after about a half an hour, like, we had moved like two scenes, and I was just like, I want to understand what, like, film historians like love about these old movies, but sometimes I just can't sit through them.
Right? Is that all he did? Did you look to see?
He did a couple other things.
But you didn't recognize anything?
But Ganja and Hess is the only thing I recognize.
Okay.
I did see at some point he was somebody at Antioch College, which is here in Ohio, down near Dayton, in a little village called Yellow Springs.
Uh-huh.
And he was there for several years, managing a department or something. I didn't write it down.
That's a little bit of a prestigious college here in Ohio. Antioch?
Yeah.
Yeah. So interesting. Oh my goodness, he died very young.
Very young.
51
Yeah.
in 1988. Oh wow. That's really young. Let's see what it says about his death. He died of cardiopulmonary arrest.
So he had a
Yeah,
heart
heart
attack.
attack. Yep. Yeah. Wow.
That's too young.
Yeah. He did not do a lot of movies. Night of the Living Dead, Ganja and Hess, Losing Ground, Beat Street, Vampires, To Die For, Negatives, and Fright House.
What's the Vampires movie? When was that?
Vampires, 1986.
Okay, that's not what I'm thinking of.
Let me turn it on. Oh no, I don't recognize that cover. Do you recognize that?
No.
Okay, so well, he didn't do a whole lot of more movies, but
He did a few.
1989 is the last one. But what I just say, he died in 88.
Yeah. He was a scholar, he was an academic. He wasn't, you know, acting was just kind of a little thing on the side, which is fine. I read that he never watched this movie.
Oh, interesting.
That he never watched any of his movies.
Oh, you know, I've heard that. I've heard other actors say that.
I don't know.
Let's see. Mr. Jones had a recital hall at the State University of New York at Old Westbury, named after him.
Yes, I saw that.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Interesting. Interesting. But other than what you've told me, I did not recognize any of these names.
No, yeah.
So, you know, I probably was not watching movies in 1968. We went to the drive-in theater. You know, we didn't even go into a theater. I remember as a little kid, we'd go to the drive-in once a month.
Yeah. And this was one of the last big drive-in movies.
Oh, but I don't think my parents would have taken
I'm
us to see
sure, yeah,
this.
I'm sure
You
they
know,
took you to this
two
movie.
little kids, yeah, right.
I'm sure they went and saw
Right.
this on their own. Please.
Yeah, really. Really.
This doesn't strike me like a movie that either of them would have watched
No.
at all.
No. Although, you know, Grandpa's one of favorite movies was Earth Girls Are Easy. So
Yeah.
he likes those kind of weird movies.
Yeah, okay. That's just because it's stupid. And it's got a funny name.
Maybe that's where I get my sense of movie humor from.
Yeah. Could be.
Oh my goodness. That's craziness.
So I got trivia. What do you got?
Well, I got a little bit about I told you I didn't find a whole lot about George Romero.
Okay.
Because most every site that I looked at said basically the same thing.
Okay. Every interview you ever saw the man in, he's got a cigarette in his hand.
Okay.
And he had just
Those
giant glasses.
gigantic glasses
Yeah.
that his third wife picked up after he left. So in addition to the Dead series, he has done plenty of other movies. Tales for the Dark Side from 83 to 88.
Oh, that was an anthology show. That was yeah, Tales from the Dark Side.
And he started his career as a gopher on as a teenager in the movie North by Northwest.
No shit.
Interesting, huh? I thought that was really interesting.
Hitchcock.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep. He has three children, Cameron, Andrew and Tina. It said that Cameron was interested in pictures, but I didn't find a whole lot about him.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, and I didn't really dive in. He went to Carnegie Mellon.
Okay.
In Pittsburgh. After graduation, he and his friends formed Image 10 Productions. And they all pooled their money and used the $100,000 to make this movie. That money that you had talked about?
Yeah.
They used that money to make this movie.
Wow, cool.
It became a cult classic in the early 70s.
Yeah.
And in 99, it went to the National Registry. The movie went to the National Registry.
Okay.
And we're talking some of his work dealt with social commentary in the horror related microscope type thing.
Yeah.
You know, so I thought, yeah, that's exactly what you said.
Yeah. Martin is on Tubi. It's a young man that may or may not be a vampire. He thinks that he's like a 500-year-old vampire.
Oh, uh-huh.
In the body of like a 24-year-old boy.
Oh, interesting.
And is he a vampire or is there something wrong with him? You don't really know. And honestly, the movie's so goddamn slow, I couldn't watch it. I tried.
Okay, all right.
I was just like, I've got to do this for George. And then it was just like, no dice.
Sorry, George. Sorry. Okay. Most of his films were done in or around Pittsburgh.
Okay.
78. He did Dawn of the Dead.
Yeah. The sequel.
This is when he kind of went away from the Group 10. In the movie, it caused a lot of problems for the movie.
Really?
You know, because there was a lot of copyright stuff going on with that. And that's kind of when this movie fell into the public domain.
Yeah.
Because there was so much problem. And that's only 10 years.
Yeah.
Usually it's longer than that. But because he wanted to move away from his own group, there was problems, and it caused it to drop to the public domain.
Huh, that's cool.
So maybe that's why the money is low.
That could very well be.
Yeah. Yep. In the 80s, he started in a decline, and his movies kind of reflected that. Day of the Dead in 85. But then in the 2000s, he kind of got a recharge. I think that was a new generation of people watching him. I think.
Yeah. Yeah. People my age were going back and watching Night of the Living Dead and Dawn of the Dead. They remade Dawn of the Dead in 2004.
Right. Right. I have that written down.
And we've just watched that recently. It holds up.
Yeah. Night of the Living Dead was redone in 90.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, there was a recharge. And I think that's kind of because, you know, he had a new audience.
Yeah.
And he passed in 2017 in Toronto from lung cancer.
Like I said, you never saw the man without a cigarette dangling from his hand.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah. Yep, and there's another movie. You know, it's Night of the Living Dead,
uh-huh.
Dawn of the Dead,
yep.
Day of the Dead,
uh-huh.
Land of the Dead,
yep.
Diary of the Dead,
uh-huh.
Survival of the Dead,
uh-huh.
And Twilight of the Dead.
Twilight of the Dead.
That is the one that Romero had started out with it. Because he was not happy with the way the last two wrapped up the series.
Oh.
He felt that the diary and the survival kind of were to wrap up the series.
Yeah.
And finalize the movie. But he was not happy with that. So he started out with this Twilight of the Dead with Paolo Zelati.
Okay.
Z-E-L-A-T-I.
Sure.
And it was, and that was an exploration of the fate of the zombies right up to the extinction of humanity. So.
Yeah, because what happens when there's no food?
Right, right, right.
One of the movies, it ends with that the survivors getting to a speedboat and just kind of speedboating away to like an island that's, you know, a ways off. And it's just like, what do you.
Maybe they had no people?
Yeah, I don't know.
Do you think that's how it ends? Because it did come back into. At his death in 2017, it kind of dropped away. And then in 2021, it came back to development. Under his third wife, Suzanne Romero's direction.
Okay.
With Paolo Zelati.
Sure.
So, you know, did it? Will it? Is it? That's to be announced.
Oh, okay.
So, and there were also spinoffs. TV stuff and comic books. There were lots of comic books. Toe Tag featuring George Romero. I don't know what that meant. Empire of the Dead with Marvel. Road of the Dead Highway to Hell.
That's a mouthful.
Yes. It's an IDW publication, which is a comic. Let's see. And that was written by Jonathan Mayberry. This is kind of a, because it's in the public domain, this is kind of a spinoff of that.
Okay.
So, yeah, there's lots to this, lots more to this movie than, you know, just what we see.
Well, and a lot of times, because it is in the public domain and it's you know, that's pretty much free use.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime you're watching a horror movie where the people are watching a horror movie, it's Night of the Living Dead.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. And then I kind of looked into public domain because, you know, we know what public domain is, but, you know, what really is it? And the definition of public domain is a collection of creative works that are not protected by intellectual property rights, such as copyright, trademark, or patent.
Oh.
So, yeah. You know, and there's lots of ways that it can come in and out. You can't. Collections do not ever go into the public domain. Like if you have a collection, you know, you wrote a collection of comics and you put them all together, they cannot go to public domain.
Oh, but each individual issue could?
Possibly.
Okay.
There's.
But like the compendium couldn't.
Correct.
Okay.
And they can never get a new copyright. Once the copyright expires, you cannot get a new one.
Really?
Unless it goes to a collection. Which, you know, and I'm sure that we would really need a lawyer to explain all of this to us.
Yeah.
You know, because I'm reading it and I kind of understood it, but I kind of didn't understand it. Because, you know, this is all legalese. And this is somebody's money.
Yeah.
You know, this is absolutely somebody's financial holdings.
Yeah.
So, you know, and there are a thing. There is a thing called perpetual copyright, and that's a lot of stuff in the UK that is like that.
Oh.
And one thing that I found interesting, that is in this perpetual copyright is the authorized King James version of the Bible.
Oh.
Doesn't that strike you as odd?
Well, I mean, do you buy the copyright? Like, how does that change hands? Like,
you know what? That I do not know.
I can't imagine that the first holding company or whatever that published the King James Bible is still.
But maybe that's like the next example I have is of the story of Peter Pan.
Okay.
And that has a perpetual copyright on it. And royalties are paid to Peter Pan as long as the Great Ormond Street Hospital exists.
Oh.
Because at the time of his death, it just dropped out of my mind who wrote Peter Pan.
I couldn't tell you.
Okay. Anyway, at that time that the guy that wrote Peter Pan left this to the Great Ormond Street Hospital.
Oh.
And because it is an institution like that, they can keep it as a copyright. And when the hospital is finished, the copyright is finished.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, is the King James Version something like that?
Oh.
Does that belong to the Church of England?
Oh, Christ. Who knows?
Or
could you imagine?
I
don't think they believe the same thing as the King James Bible.
Well, King James is the one that authorized that version.
I know, but
isn't he
Henry VIII is the one that got
you're right.
rid of Catholicism in England. That's
yes.
how the Church of England started.
Yes, yes, yes. I do remember that because he wanted a divorce and the Pope wouldn't give it to him.
Right.
Ah, interesting. Hmm.
So was King James before or after that? Who the hell knows? Because there's 500 of each name.
I would say it's before that because they were still writing those Bibles by hand.
Oh, geez. Okay.
But that is the first book that was ever printed on a printing press.
I do know that.
Yeah.
And I only know that because I was reading Ranker today. I had some downtime, so I was reading Ranker. And one of a King James Bible from centuries ago.
Right.
Is on display at the New York Public Library or something like that.
Yeah.
And they had mentioned that it was made on a printing press.
Yes.
And I was just like, huh.
A hand cranker.
Yeah, probably.
I've seen it on, you know, interesting finds or something like that. I don't
Crazy.
Know.
Who knew?
Yeah.
The weird shit that I would read today.
Absolutely. in most countries, a patent's life is 20 years. So if you invent something, it basically will only last for 20 years. Trademarks don't necessarily expire, but will turn to the public domain when they are not used.
Yeah.
So, you know, all these people name their children names that they've trademarked. And in 20 years, that's up. So, or when they get older and they don't, you know, necessarily use their name as their money, then it'll expire.
I do know that, and I only know this from last week tonight with John Oliver, Steamboat Willie.
Yes, that just
came
recently.
Into the public domain this year.
Yes, yes. That was my last little note. January 1st, the first day of every year, the list of new public domain items comes out.
Yeah.
It's considered Public Domain Day. And as of 2010, they now have a webpage.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to go to that.
And one of the examples was Disney's
Steamboat
Willie.
Yeah.
The newer Mickey Mouse stuff is not.
No. Also, Winnie the Pooh went recently. That's why they're making Winnie the Pooh horror movies. Have you seen that?
I did know that they are doing that, but that's the reason.
Blood
why.
And Honey.
I heard they're awful.
Of course they are. Of course they are.
Oh, interesting. I You know, I didn't never connected that. You know, we've talked about public domain before and stuff like that, and that's why we're doing this now is to shine a light on some of this stuff that fell to the wayside, maybe.
Yeah. It's all stuff that you heard about, but have you
Right?
looked into it? No, probably not.
Right. Music is also in the public domain. Was it the last movie we watched? I mentioned the music box from Murder, She Wrote.
Oh.
Beautiful Dreamer was the song.
That was in Batman.
Well, yes, it was. Yes, it was. So that's one of those songs that's in the public domain.
Oh, okay.
I think Ray Orbison did
A cover.
a cover of that song. But anyways, there's lots of interesting stuff out there. You just have
Yeah,
to
just
look
go
for
find
it.
it. I'm gonna go to that website, the public domain website.
Yeah. I
Jeez.
did not go there, but thought I would mention it.
Yeah, I'm interested.
Yeah, okay. What else you have?
I have that this is one of the most profitable independent movies ever made.
Okay.
I also have that George Romero did not see hardly any of those profits
Oh.
because he did not have any good knowledge on how to work a distribution deal, and the distributors walked away with virtually everything.
Oh, that's unfortunate. That's terrible.
Yeah.
But that was, film was still young then. Really. Sure, they've been making films since the 30s, but right about then is when stuff started to change.
Yeah.
And some big movies came out then.
And I'm sure it was predatory,
Oh,
you know,
yes.
because, you know, those big companies are just looking for somebody that in Pennsylvania that made a movie that doesn't know what they're sitting on.
Right. I believe that.
So.
Like I said, you already said they made a whole movie for $200,000. Now every movie costs $200 million.
Oh, absolutely. When the writers decided to base the film on zombies, they brainstormed on what the most shocking things for the zombies to do to people were, and they landed on cannibalism.
Ah, okay.
Now, zombie lore in the movies is really interesting. There's a movie called Return of the Living Dead that was made in the 80s, and it takes on the lore that this movie, Night of the Living Dead, was real, and that the army had like zombies in like oil drums for research purposes,
Okay.
and something happens to one of the drums, and then they're all reanimated, and they one of the ghouls starts talking, and they explain the whole brains thing. And it's very interesting. I just watched Return of the Living Dead the other day.
Oh my goodness. Okay. All right, interesting.
It also had acid rain in the movie, which again, I thought was going to be a bigger problem in my adult life.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, but that and that, that word is a victim of its time, I think.
Yeah.
That kind of takes us to our trivia stuff, what we had for our meal.
Oh, yeah.
Since this is a midnight movie,
Oh, 100%.
we still had, dinner, so
Which
or
I didn't post on Facebook because I was trying to do something else. And then I started watching the movie and forgot.
Right, and then
So
we ate half of the food, so
my food was gone. I was stuffing the last bits of my meal into my mouth when I said, oh.
Hey, we forgot to recommend moose snap crabber. So we had diner food.
We had diner food. because Ben mentions that he had seen a diner in the town.
Right.
And was going to circle back there, but the zombies had surrounded it.
Correct.
So when we're done, I'll get the pictures up on Facebook.
What was left of my lunch.
Mom had chicken fingers. They smelled delicious.
They were really good.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mayberry's. We went back to Mayberry Diner.
So. Yeah. I had breakfast. It was awesome.
Yep. Yep. We always get a good meal there.
Bosco chocolate syrup was used to simulate blood in this movie.
Yes. I think we've talked about other movies from black and white movies from then that used Bosco or chocolate syrup.
Yeah, that was Psycho.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And you said you put the Bosco in the milk.
Yep.
Yep.
You did not know what the Bosco was.
I know what Bosco is.
You drink it in the milk.
When the zombies are eating the bodies in the burnout truck, they're actually eating roast ham covered in chocolate sauce.
Oh, is that what was all over them?
Yeah.
Chocolate sauce on the roast ham?
Chocolate sauce and ham pieces.
Oh, yuck.
The filmmakers joked that it was so nausea-inducing that it was almost a waste of time putting makeup on the zombies since they already looked pale and sick. Could you even imagine? Not even for the team could I do that.
I
ketchup. Maybe. Maybe. I know people put ketchup on ham.
Yeah. I don't know.
Chocolate sauce? Never.
I don't think I could do that. Chocolate sauce? Yay. Ham? Yay. Together? No.
No, I want to throw up just thinking about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Ooh, that does sound disgusting.
The cemetery they used was real. I told you that when we first walked into the cemetery.
Yep.
It was Evans City Cemetery. And they used it. They picked it because it had an isolated location. And it had, like, trees all around it that kind of shielded them from, you know, people walking down the street.
Yes.
And it's now become a popular tourist attraction and fan destination.
Ah, cool.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Very interesting.
The character of Ben
was
supposed to be a crude but resourceful truck driver with no specification to race.
Okay.
After Dwayne Jones auditioned, Romero rewrote part to fit his performance of a more academic, kind of just regular man.
Yeah. Yeah, he was. I thought that he was rather a level-headed, ordinary dude, you know?
He reminded me of Grandpa.
Yeah. You do what you have to do with what you got.
And you do what I say to do, or I'm gonna have to yell at you.
Do as I say do.
Yeah.
Do not do what I do.
Yeah. So, yeah, that.
Yeah. No nonsense.
Not a man. Just a regular man that's making the best of what he has.
Uh-huh.
In addition to acting in the film, Carl Hardman, who played Harry Cooper.
Uh-huh.
Also co-produced, worked as a makeup artist, did electronic sound effects engineering, and took the still photos used for the closing credits.
They were awful. Those last pictures, I said that to you.
Yeah.
They were graphic.
Yeah.
And not that they showed any blood and guts and gore, but just the way they were staged, they were graphic.
Yeah. There was no doubt that was a dead body.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes. Yes. And so that was kind of interesting.
Speaking of, now this movie is regarded as a classic, but at the time the film attracted considerable criticism for its graphic use of gore.
Oh.
You know, they had that zombie playing with somebody's intestines.
Yeah. I said there's a piece of liver.
Yeah. You know, that lady was eating a ham bone that looked maybe like it could have been a rib.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I could see that. Like I said, we've got to think back to a 1968 ideal.
You know, we saw Psycho where all the violence was kind of in shadow
Right.
and more implied than anything. But in this one, there is direct violence.
Right.
There is hand-to-hand combat.
Right.
And
And he's shooting people that are feet away from him with a long gun.
yeah.
So, oh
So
yeah.
for the
Interesting.
time, it was pretty wild.
Yes.
The house used in the film was loaned to the filmmakers by the owner, who had planned to demolish it anyway.
Oh.
And they had to clean it up a little bit. The first thing they cleaned up was the kitchen area so the cast and crew could have a little lunch space. They just thought it would be a nice thing to have a little lunch space.
Yes, how thoughtful. Well, they're eating the ham and chocolate sauce.
Gross. The body upstairs was made by George Romero, who used ping pong balls for the eyes.
Oh, cool. Okay.
The farmhouse itself didn't have a true basement. It only had a dirt potter's cellar, and that had no stairs. So the basement scenes were all shot in the editing studio cellar that had stairs.
Okay. I wondered about that. Because a farmhouse would have only had a root cellar.
Yeah.
And it probably was got to from the outside, not never inside your house.
Probably.
So I wondered about that, but I didn't go further with it in my
But you
thinking.
would think that if they had created that, that would be just another point of entry that they would have had to,
Correct.
overcome.
Right.
And those zombies seem to be pretty strong. They picked up that table leg and beating it
Know
from
if you beat
the
the
door
door
with
with
it.
it. And he said they didn't have any strength, but they did. They were able to wield that leg, that chair, table leg, and that looked pretty hefty.
Yeah.
That didn't look like just a little,
A little twig piece.
right. But what do you know, you know?
It's never explained how the dead began to reanimate. I mean, there is an kind of a theory thrown out in the movie about the radiation from the thing from Venus that NASA didn't bring home.
Right. The radiation from that.
Yeah. But that's not a definite answer.
Right.
And the army guys that they were trying to interview on the news weren't going to say either way,
Right.
which, the army wouldn't say either way.
Neither confirm nor deny.
Yeah, because that's their status quo.
Right.
And it's also never explained why the body upstairs wasn't reanimated. Well, why was there a body upstairs with ping pong ball eyes?
I think that that was answered in the news program when it said they began eating the bodies.
Yeah, 'cause that half the face was gone.
Right. So maybe that's why they got into the head and didn't have all of its brain to reanimate. That was what I thought in my head when I,
Oh, is the zombies had already been there?
yes.
Oh.
And already eaten, they'd already eaten that.
I guess that's better than nothing.
Yeah. But I put that together after I heard the news, which, that was at the beginning of the movie, and then the news was toward the end, really.
Yeah.
That's how I put that, that's how I fixed that body. But I knew that girl in the basement was going to turn into a zombie.
Yeah.
I knew it. And
Yeah.
then when he shot that guy, I knew that guy was going to come back as a zombie, a ghoul.
Because
Why did he shoot him?
he was a problem.
I know that, but he was a bigger problem dead and then realived.
But he had a gun. He could have shot him. The news just told him to shoot him in the head.
But he didn't shoot him in the head. He shoot him in the waist.
But he could have, once he reanimated, he could have shot him in the head easily.
Well, he did.
Yeah.
That's what he was doing in the basement when he found the lady.
I know.
Oh, okay.
Because you said he raised up his no arm because the daughter was eating his arm.
Right. Right. He was short an arm. Yikes. Right.
The last scene filmed was the first scene of the movie where Barbara and Johnny are at the cemetery.
That was the last scene filmed?
Yeah.
Oh. You'd think that they would have done that first before the makeup.
Yeah, before everybody's clothes got messy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. But, you know, they do things on a particular time schedule, and that's that.
Yeah. 200 extras were cast in the parts of townspeople and ghouls.
Okay.
That was pretty cool.
I wonder who the naked one was.
And why were they naked?
Exactly.
Were they just getting autopsied?
Maybe.
But then they would have had a Y cut on their chest.
Well, we never really saw the front of them.
It's true.
We did kind of see shoulders and head, shoulders and face, but really never confirmed the sex of that.
Yeah. I still do think it was a woman. Just okay. The shape of the hips.
Exactly. You are correct in that. I would agree with you. And all the guy in his underwear and the ladies in their nightdresses.
Yeah.
I don't understand that, but okay.
But because it said the people, you know, just random people dying would reanimate quickly.
Yes.
So
if you had a heart attack and died, you could pop right back up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Much of the dialogue was improvised.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Well, wow. Okay. Interesting.
We already talked about the cemetery being real. All of the tombstones in the cemetery were real. They couldn't afford to have fake ones.
They couldn't afford extra styrofoam.
Yeah.
Or cardboard.
And the last little bit of trivia I have is that Barbara was originally written as a strong, charismatic woman who was the sole survivor.
Oh.
But Romero, when Judith O'Day portrayed her as that scared woman, that kind of catatonically scared woman, George Romero was like, I like that. And he edited her part to reflect her being a terrified woman.
Oh, cool. Okay. Interesting. And I turned on some trivia just here.
Okay.
And prior to becoming one of the leading voices in horror, George Romero started his television career on Pittsburgh's own Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood.
Oh, no way!
Yep.
Mr. Rogers was the bomb.
Yes.
He knew everybody.
Right? He was making shorts for Fred Rogers on episodes of his famous WQED children's program in the 60s.
No shit. That's cool.
And he wanted Betty Aberlin, one of Mr. Rogers' actors, to be the part of Betty. And Mr. Rogers said...
To be the part of Betty. Who's Betty? Barbara?
Barbara.
Okay.
I just said Betty, so it's now in my brain.
Okay.
Betty Aberlin. Mr. Rogers said, absolutely not.
Right.
He could not have her for the movie. I just turned on some trivia to
see if
there was anything else. And I saw that and I thought, are you kidding me? Fred Rogers is a close personal friend of our family.
My grandma would have left my grandpa for Fred Rogers in a heartbeat.
Yep. And they were eating dinner at a restaurant when Mr. Rogers was here in town giving a speech, and she got an autograph. She sent the waitress over to Mr. Rogers' table to get an autograph. And she had a napkin with his autograph on it.
That's so cool.
From the surf.
Yep.
Yeah.
I did forget to mention that Tom Savini was tapped to do the makeup on this movie, but unfortunately he was sent to Vietnam with the US Army as a combat photographer. Cool. So he was in Vietnam instead of working on this movie. But he did come back for Dawn of the Dead.
Uh-huh.
And he did direct the Night of the Living Dead remake.
Interesting.
Yeah.
He also considered shooting this movie in color.
Oh.
But felt that the black and white would make it more grisly.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. But that was right at the time when, you know, flip-flop, black and white or color was,
yeah,
you know, either was acceptable. But yeah, I think that that made this movie even more creepy.
Well, I think there's a lot of movies that just benefit from being in black and white.
Oh, absolutely. It helps with your state of mind, I think. Don't you think?
I think so.
Well, that's just my own opinion, but, you know, I like that thought.
Well, I mean, there's something to be said about gore and Technicolor that sometimes just makes it look fake.
Oh, yes.
You know?
Yes.
But that same gore in black and white, because there is not that color saturation there, I think it really highlights that it's horrific, you know, more.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah, that absolutely. I get that. What else you got?
That's all I had for trivia.
Well, we had a couple of deaths this week. Well, in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Because it's been a while since we've done this.
And I haven't paid attention to the news. Deborah was on vacation, so I haven't really paid attention to the news.
Oh, no. So you have not gotten your updates.
No.
But you knew about James Earl Jones passing.
Oh, my God. I was so sad about that. But 93, good right. for him.
And he looked the same as he did 20 years ago.
He looked
so
great.
He sounded the same. So, yeah. You know, that is a voice that will be very missed. But he did agree to an AI version of that.
Oh,
so
cool.
So there will be
James Earl Jones
will live on.
Nice.
Tito Jackson.
I saw that.
Age 70.
Yes.
Yep. You know, you don't think about the Jacksons much anymore until you hear something like this. And, oh my gosh, Tito Jackson. Wow.
Yeah, because when's the last time you thought about Tito Jackson? 1974?
Maybe. Maybe. You know. And then I heard something that you will be very interested in, and maybe we should call Kurt about this.
Oh, okay.
The Wilhelm scream?
Yeah.
The guy that did that was Sheb Woolley.
Okay.
And his really big claim to fame is he recorded Purple People Eater.
No.
And then the Wilhelm scream.
Stop it. Seriously?
I heard that. And then I looked it up. And sure enough.
Purple People Eater guy.
Yep.
Stop it.
But the little article I was reading talked about the Wilhelm scream, and the first person I thought about was Kurt.
Yeah.
Because he's the first person that ever told me about that.
Yeah.
I did not know about that before then. And
now you hear it everywhere. You see it everywhere.
We talk about it a lot. But yeah, so that's some of the fun stuff that I,
aww.
You know, it's what I waste my time on.
And it's funny, I haven't paid attention to the news, but I did see those two deaths.
Yeah, but that's all that there were that I noticed that would make any, never mind to us.
Yeah.
But yeah, Tito Jackson, wow.
Huh.
And he was only 70.
Couldn't believe that. Because he was like 35 in 1974.
Oh, at least.
Because he was the oldest brother, right?
Yeah, I believe so, yeah. No. Oh, you know what? I could look that up, but I don't really know. No, weren't there two other brothers that are older than him?
No. Marlon and Randy. Randy?
Mm-hmm. That sounds right. Let me try to get my computer working. Jackson 5. Oh, I can't even spell it. Go, baby, go. No, went to Night of Living. Oh, here we go. Jackson 5, later the Jacksons.
Yeah, they had a song in the 80s called Torture. It was great.
Let's see if it talks about the members. Jackie, Marlon, Tito, Jermaine, Michael, and Randy.
Oh, it was Jackie. Randy Jackson is the guy from American Idol. That's a no from me, dog.
Really?
That guy. That's Randy Jackson.
I don't think I knew that.
They're not related.
Why is it here? Why is it here as past members?
You said Jermaine and Jackie. Those are the two I couldn't name.
Jackie and Marlon are the two oldest, I think.
Jackie and Marlon? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Then Tito, Jermaine, and Michael. And yeah, it says Randy Jackson.
It does say Randy Jackson?
Am I hallucinating? We could be.
Sure shit does say Randy Jackson. Maybe there is a Randy Jackson in the Michael Jackson family.
I don't know, but I think that's probably incorrect because I believe there is a younger boy, but I don't believe his name is Randy.
Wasn't no, I think the youngest, was Michael, and then I think the next youngest was Jermaine. Oh. Also, did you know that Jermaine has a son named Jermajesty?
Yes, I did know that.
Your Majesty.
Your Majesty.
Ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah.
Says somebody whose name is Alexis.
Or Laurel. What can I say?
I got called Alexa the other day at work. And he said, oh, I called you Alexa. And I said, I'm not an only child. I answer to anything. And he just laughed.
Oh, no. That's funny. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that whole Jackson family. Members, here we go. Didn't some of the nephews or cousins come into the music after a while?
I think it's Tito's sons. They're in a group called 3T.
Okay.
And I don't know if they had any real traction. I mean, I've heard of them, but I've never heard them.
There is a guy named Randy Jackson who did percussion, and he was born in 19. And yes, he is a sibling.
Huh. Okay.
It said he was. So he must have been the youngest one.
Okay.
Huh. Okay. Interesting. So yeah, we are incorrect.
Yeah.
And you know what? I do think I recognize the name Randy Jackson, but it's not this one.
Yeah. No, Randy Jackson is the guy from American Idol, the first few seasons.
Yep.
That, you know, that's a no from me, dog. And then he lost all that weight, but he's still got a big head.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. This brother's name is Stephen Randall Jackson.
Oh, okay.
So, that's that. I think Marlon was the oldest. Well, it says he was born in 1957.
I think Michael was born in 59.
Let's see when Tito was born. 53.
Oh.
Jermaine was born in 54.
Okay.
Michael, closer to my age.
Yeah.
58.
58? Okay.
Yeah. Did we look at Jackie?
Do we
Jackie's the oldest, 1951.
This has turned into Jackson 5 talk.
Only because we want to, we're inquiring minds. You know, that's how we've done everything in our podcast, Lex. Something, you know, some little kernel of something pops into one of our brains, and there we go.
It's true. I'm just joking. Listen, I love the Jackson 5. I like the Jacksons.
Yeah.
It's crazy how Michael is still so popular after all of the allegations against him. Like, you can't, like, I don't, we were just talking about that the other day. Like, how did he skate through all of that? To be remembered so fondly.
Well, you know, I mean, the only thing I can say is they just arrested P. Diddy yesterday
Yeah.
for allegedly
Sex trafficking, forced slavery.
a list of things, and people love him. Money talks and shit walks.
Yeah. Well, that's, and we were talking about that today, like what makes famous people do this crazy shit? And I said, I feel like it's like from a place of, I have more money than God. What are you gonna do about it?
Right.
And you know, I'm bored at this level. Let me take it to the next level and see where that puts me. I'm still kind of bored. I'm gonna take it up a notch and up a notch and up a notch until you are at a point of depravity that knows no
Right.
bounds.
This guy, it sounds like he had a stable of people that he filled them up with drugs and then set them off to have sex.
Yeah, it's fucking weird.
Weird. You know, but there again, he's got the money to do it.
Absolutely.
And really, who's going to talk about it?
Exactly.
You know, we have a whole history of rich men that are depraved.
Yeah.
And
All industries.
yes, all industries, all walks of life, but they have more money than they can spend in a million years, and they go berserk.
Well,
Nobody can touch them.
I don't, you know, when you have more money than God, why aren't you, why, you know, why is stuff like this coming out about you? If I had more money than God and I was doing some shady shit, nobody would ever know about it.
I would like to think that I could pull that off, but I don't
Because I
know.
wouldn't,
See,
everybody would be on my payroll.
you're going to cross that one person that money can't buy.
Yeah.
And this is what happens to all of them.
Yeah.
There's one person that this money cannot buy, and they're going to spill their guts.
Yeah.
And it's this got him in a world of hurt.
Yeah.
They even are holding him no bail, no bond,
Yeah.
because you know he could come up with bond in a heartbeat.
Oh, he's got it in his pockets.
Yeah.
He can
Well,
find
no,
that in his prison jumpsuit.
I'm sure he doesn't have the money, but his handlers, who are a step behind him, have it.
The jewelry they took off him at the jail could pay for it a few times over.
I do not understand that. I mean, I don't understand. I don't understand having that much money that you think you're above everything.
You know, I don't know. Yeah, I'll never be there, so I'll never ever know. But I feel like there is just that switch that flips that says I am untouchable.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said, we've seen that all through history
Yeah.
of rich men doing things like that.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know, look at Elon Musk. He's got a dozen children, and then he said something stupid on his Facebook about giving Taylor Swift a baby,
Oh,
which
gross.
is creepy.
It's fucking gross.
That is stalker talk.
It's
Oh.
creepy.
You got a dozen other children by half a dozen other wives. Well, what are
No.
you?
The first wife had like eight kids because they were
Holy
all
shit,
multiple,
really?
two or three at a time.
Oh, Lord. thought he had a dozen or so wives.
No, only a few.
Oh, dear. Well, the latest one has three of his children.
Yeah, she's going to be a problem for him.
She looked like a problem.
She sounds like a problem. Hey.
And then he says that stupid stuff about Taylor Swift, thinking, oh, my God. That's just
that
creepy.
Just proves how out of touch he is.
Exactly.
And just how highly he thinks of himself.
Yes.
Justin always calls him Euro trash. And I'm like, you know, he's not European, right? He's just like, he's just dumb Euro trash. And I'm just like, you know, he's from like South Africa. Like he's, that's nowhere near Europe. It's very far away from Europe.
Right.
And he's just like, really? And he's like, well, why does he talk like that? And I was like, so,
because he can.
Most of those people speak Dutch.
Well, you know, like I said, I mean, when you've got that much money, you think you're untouchable and you can do whatever you want. That's not the case. That's not the case. Well, you know, we can go right up to our politics. You know, our poor state of Ohio has been turned freaking upside down. And even our Republican governor has, he's not said it in so many words, but he said it that he wishes that someone would be quiet. But yeah, so the National Guard is now in poor Springfield.
Oh, Springfield is such an armpit little city.
Yeah, but Lex, there's so much. You know, I don't know what people are talking about. There's four, between Columbus and Dayton, there are four Amazon warehouses or distribution centers.
Okay.
And what, that's 40, 50 miles of stretch?
What, between where?
Columbus and Dayton.
Yeah.
There's four Amazon warehouses.
Have you ever driven to Springfield?
Yes.
There is nothing but fucking cornfields.
And that's...
And crosses in fields. It's terrifying.
But it's just a little city in Ohio.
It's...
That happened to take in Haitian immigrants.
It's an armpit. And it was an armpit before.
But there's plenty of work there. There's the brand new Aldi's warehouses there. Somewhere right around there.
Okay.
Those Amazon, I mean, there's lots of industry there. You know, I don't know why people are angry that they're there. There's jobs. I don't know. That's my own opinion.
Yeah.
And rich men can do whatever they want.
Yeah. You know, I guess. Rewriting their own history. It just doesn't make sense, no. But here we are.
Yep. 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 And we watch crazy movies.
Yeah.
With our kittens. With your kittens.
With my kittens. I think the next one we'll watch, mostly because I can access it pretty easily, is a Carnival of Souls.
Oh, okay. Let me get my pen and write that down. I don't think I've ever heard of that. Have I?
No, but George Romero did say that was one of the movies that inspired him.
Oh. Okay. Would that have been before 1968 then?
I think it was made in 63, I want to say.
Okay, I can't get my page turned.
It's okay.
Got it.
I think it's still on Shudder. In fact, we can check that out right now.
I never even turned this one on.
I'm sure
it scares me.
Well, some of the stuff that'll come up right away sucks. Because they just start playing a movie. I don't give a shit about your movie.
Yeah, I hate it when the app turns that on like that.
Yeah. I don't care.
All right. Carnival of Souls is our next movie. I have that in my book.
Okay. House on Haunted Hill is going to be one.
That looked scary.
What?
House on the Haunted Hill with him looking back like that?
Oh. Yikes. House on Haunted Hill is exciting.
Okay. Look at that. Look at that face.
It, whether it's in color or black and white, I've seen both.
Uh-huh.
And it's a great movie. Vincent Price is just chef's kiss.
Yes.
Let me just goddamn car. Carnival of Souls. There it is. It's on Shudder.
Okay.
1962.
All right. We'll watch that in a couple of weeks. I'll start.
Yeah. It's got four out of five red skeletons.
Oh, well.
Don't let that fool you. I've watched this movie several times because I'm trying to watch this. It turns into a background movie real fucking fast.
Oh, and you're going to have me watch it?
Yeah.
Oh, but Lex.
It's a cult classic.
Be asleep.
It's, the story is good.
Okay.
It's just one of those kind of slow burn kind of things.
Oh, yeah.
Where
it's really not our favorite.
Something happens in the first 20 minutes and, you know.
Then it takes an hour to figure it out.
Yeah.
You know those aren't our favorites, but.
But the way it shot the anxiety that builds, it's a good movie.
Okay.
Is it one of my favorites? Absolutely not.
Will I be doodling on my
probably
my phone halfway through it?
This says connected with the film's atmospheric Twilight Zone meets Ingmar Bergman style.
Ooh.
So
ooh.
Okay.
Okay.
That's a little grandiose.
Yeah.
But
mm-hmm.
All right. Calm down.
My goodness. Okay. It'll be fun.
Yeah, we'll have a good time.
Yeah, we always do, for crying out loud.
I have to figure out what to eat.
Yeah, we'll have to look on the internet, see if there's any food in it. Carnival food. I'm sure it's not carnival like that.
It's not that carnival.
Hey, I can have a funnel cake, you know.
Don't
put
tempt
gun
me
away from my head.
Don't tempt me with a good time.
Right. Hey, do you still have that funnel cake maker thing? We could make our own.
I of course do. And I'm sure I still have some batter to go with it that is probably bad. I will still use it.
It's just pancake batter.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh.
Sweetened. It's got a little bit more sugar than what we eat pancakes as.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
We could rig that up real quick.
Yeah. Cup of flour, a cup of milk, and a little egg and sugar.
I know that we are in spooky season officially.
Yes.
Because I went to the store this morning to fill my snack drawer, and the Count Chocula display was up. And I was so excited. I didn't have any room in my basket.
Oh. Do you want me to pick a box? I'm going to the grocery after I leave here. Do you want me to pick up a
no
box?
No, I'll have Justin do it. Get some fruit brute. If they have any fruit brute.
I don't know what that is.
It's like Coke. It's like Fruity Pebbles, but uh-huh, like the Count Chocula version.
Oh. Oh my goodness. Okay. All right. Been a long time since I ate cereal, so I don't.
Oh.
I haven't had
Count Chocula probably since I was a kid. I buy it every couple years and you know, hold on to the box for you know, a couple years, and then it's just like, this is well expired.
Yeah,
let's,
I need to throw this away.
This.
It's probably full of ants or something.
Yeah,
you know. Yeah. Weevils.
Oh God.
Yeah.
Count Chocula's got marshmallows though.
Yuck.
I don't know. Like, if you put a regular marshmallow in front of me, I want to punch you in your mouth.
Yeah, but
you
those
put cereal marshmallows,
those dry crunchy ones.
Yes.
There's something about them.
The astronaut ones?
Is that what they are?
I don't know.
They dehydrated?
Yeah,
is that why they're so good?
So. I think so.
When I was at Blythe's the last time, we went to the farm market, and they had a stand that had dehydrated candy. And they had Skittles and all kinds of stuff. So we bought a little box that had Milky Ways in them.
Oh, okay.
Milky Way is not my favorite
It's
candy.
not my favorite.
It's, it's a candy bar. They were that texture. No, that dry, crunchy thing. And they tasted like a Milky Way. It was
Weird.
weird. It was weird. So
I don't know
I
if I could have the Milky Way flavor without the Milky Way texture. You know what I mean? Because that caramel texture really takes over.
Yeah, but it was okay.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, a Starburst. I couldn't imagine a Starburst
Freeze-dried.
dehydrated. Yeah. I couldn't imagine that. So we got the one that I thought was least offensive, and it was interesting.
Weird. Okay.
Yeah, interesting.
I think there's a food truck that comes around here that has like freeze-dried candy and stuff.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Okay. Such things. Okay. What else? What else we got to talk about? Nothing.
Nothing.
I think that I enjoyed this movie more than I thought I would.
We didn't really talk about the social commentary of it all. We really skated right past that.
Yeah, but is that what people watch this movie for?
No,
Or
but I do think that that's something that you walk away with. Like, you walk in like, oh, I'm gonna see a scary movie, and then you walk away feeling some type of way,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of
What this movie is?
yeah, and I feel like that's what like Dawn of the Dead is, and I feel like that's what Day of the Dead was supposed to be.
Okay.
You're just supposed to walk away feeling uneasy with the whole thing. You know, first of all, it's a group of people that you now you have to rely on the kindness of strangers, which does not happen in an emergency.
Right.
And then in 1968, you have to take orders from a black guy? Absolutely not.
No.
And just to having Dwayne Jones in that role, in that position, in that group of people, it was something you hadn't seen
Right.
in film very
No.
much at all.
Absolutely not. No. No. But on the other hand, what color is a hero?
Right.
Or what color is a piece of shit?
Right. And I think at that time there was a very clear line as to who the hero could be, and he certainly didn't look like Dwayne Jones.
Right. That is it in a nutshell. Didn't look like. Right.
Yeah. Handsome. Handsome man. God damn,
Yeah.
he's a good-looking man.
Yeah. And he took charge. There was a crisis and he raised his hand and stood up.
Yeah.
And the younger man also tried to raise his hand and stand up.
Yeah.
But he was held back by the woman.
His woman.
Yep.
Yeah.
And, I don't know if they hadn't. You've got to wonder if they hadn't left the house, would they have all been safe?
No, because we saw what happened to Ben.
Oh, right.
They didn't give him a second look and they shot him.
But if there were a whole group of people in there, would it have been different?
I don't think so.
They would have just shot
I
everybody,
think so.
thinking that it was just a house full of ghouls.
Until a white person was just like, whoa, 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 I'm alive.
I don't know. I think, but on the other hand, I think what that the end of that movie told me is fear changes people to do things that they wouldn't ordinarily do.
Absolutely.
Just shooting people.
I agree.
Shooting people.
Yeah, just eliminating the problem. I'm going to shoot first and ask questions
Right.
later.
That's exactly right.
And I, 9 times out of 10 in this movie, that would have been fine. But that 10th time, They should have asked a question.
Right.
They should have been out there hollering, anybody alive in there?
Right.
So I had a chance to be like, bitch, I'm here.
Right. But on the other hand, if they had all been still alive, if they had all screamed out, who's out there? Who are you? Help us.
Yeah.
You know, maybe. Maybe that would have worked.
Yeah.
But, you know, it gets right down to what does the color of your skin have to do with anything?
In the world where I live, it doesn't.
Right.
But in the real world, it still is a question.
It's a huge thing.
And why? Why?
Right. Right. In 2024, why is that even thought?
It's shocking.
Yeah. Well, to me, it is.
I think really walking away from a movie like this, that's the most shocking part of it. Not that there was a black hero in 1968. It's just that why are we still much closer to 1968 than the future that we are in?
Right. I agree with you. I agree with you.
So.
But there's no answer to that question.
No, because society sucks and it's never going to get better.
Right. Right. Unfortunately, you're right. So.
Yeah.
Love your neighbor.
Well, just don't directly hate them. Just tell them to stay on their side of the fence.
Put up with your neighbor. I don't know. I'm fortunate that my neighbors are okay. I mean, they're kind of normal.
Justin hates the guy that lives behind us.
Oh, well, he's kind of showed off as a, you know, kind of an idiot anyway.
He's kind of a jerk. But, and I also know that he was very friendly with my ex-husband.
Oh.
So I'm sure he was really excited.
Yeah.
To see somebody else move in.
Right.
But when Justin had his bee attack, one of the first things he asked when he was lucid was, Carl and his family weren't outside, were they? I said,
oh no.
I said, I don't think so. I didn't notice them. I said, because I'm sure they would have been hooting and hollering looking at you, and I didn't hear nothing but you. So,
right. Well, if they had been outside, they should have run their asses inside.
Oh,
because those bees could have come over there in a heartbeat.
I would have gotten a passive aggressive note in my mailbox that said, you've got bees on the back of your house. Where the fuck are they supposed to be? That's outside. I don't want them in my house.
Right.
Them being outside is not my problem.
Right.
That's where they're supposed to be.
Oh, Lord.
And go hang out on your front porch.
What are you looking at my house for anyways? Go away.
Well, because my backyard is 3 inches long. Right. You know, 3 inches wide.
Wide, yes.
So,
and rolls right up to their house. So.
Right.
I know.
So.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, get along with your neighbors.
Just
if you don't see them, it's all the better.
Just don't talk to your neighbors. Just
right.
Don't hate them, but don't talk to them.
Sounds like a good plan.
Because I've never talked to... I've only met him a couple times. I've talked to the lady at that house once because she had mail delivered here.
Yes.
And the people that live here are kind of a revolving door of people. I don't
even know who lives there now.
I don't know who lives there now. I talked to one of the, when there were the group of old people that lived there. I talked to one of the women once. And it was very weird because we were both in our night clothing, except I had at least stopped to put a bathrobe on. She did not.
Was she out roaming the street or in her night clothes?
There was an accident across the street, and there was a kid. The girlfriend was driving, and the boy was just running around the car like a fucking maniac, screaming. And it was just like, you hit a tree, dude. You need to calm down. You are not helping anybody.
Maybe he had a head injury.
I don't know. But I was like, baby, you need to sit down so I can see what's wrong with your girlfriend. Because she was catatonic in the driver's seat.
Oh, dear.
I was just like, we need to address her and you need to calm down.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Oh, I remember that. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, so that was the only reason I talked to that lady.
Okay.
Because we're both standing out there in our night clothes dealing with that screaming boy.
My gosh. I can't believe you don't have more accidents on your corner than you do.
There's been a couple recently.
Yeah.
Just a little fender benders right in front of the house.
Nice. And I keep having the squad and the fire truck two or three doors down. I'm not exactly sure which house they go in and out of.
Oh.
So it's either the second or the third house down. Because they're always right there.
Oh, yeah.
So there's some problem there, but you know, I don't speak to them. They're that far down. So I don't know, but I worry about them when I see the squad.
Yeah.
Never good to have the rescue squad pull up in front of your house.
No, for a while there was somebody going down the side street. Wow. Real close, because you could see the lights in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
So, but, and they would come.
Regularly.
Semi-regularly.
Never good.
No.
Never good. Oh, well.
Okay. But yeah, no, I try to keep my windows closed. I try to not pay attention to my neighbors. I don't want to know.
Live and let live.
Actually, one of the parts guys I talk to a lot, he lives over by you.
Oh, uh-huh.
Down the street where my ex-husband's grandma lived. So down that street. I said, oh, I used to know somebody that lived down that street. And he's like, oh, yeah. And I said, you know, my house is over here. And he's like, oh, you know, some other guy lives down on the side street by you. And I said, oh, okay, you know, cool. I'm not going to talk to him, so whatever. And he's like, hey, I drove past your house. He's just like, that pine tree needs trimmed up. And I was just like, no.
My mom tells me that all the time. Thank you.
You didn't notice the shitty shrubbery? You didn't notice? you just noticed the pine tree?
Thank you.
It's just like, did it look like nobody was home? And he was just like, there are cars in the driveway. And I said, did it look like nobody was home? Because that's how I want it to look. And
right.
He just laughed. He thinks I'm wild.
That's how I always want my house to look like. Nobody's home.
Yeah.
Don't come here.
Don't even stop. Somebody knocked on the door a week or so ago, and we just sat here like, don't move, don't breathe, yeah. Don't just go away.
They will. The little kids were out the other day, and one of them knocked on my door for something.
Did they want to see the cat?
I don't know. Cat was in the window. If they wanted to see the cat, they could have looked.
Oh.
But, you know.
When I hear the little kids out, I open the front door so Reginald Monchego can see them. Oh. And they come up on the stoop and tap on the glass. Meow, 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 meow. It's adorable.
Well, most of the people around me have dogs.
Oh, okay.
So a cat is an unusual animal.
Yeah. Well, Reginald Monchego is so majestic looking.
Oh my gosh, he's a beautiful kitten.
He's majestic.
Yes, yes. He is. He is a beautiful baby. I love him.
Yeah.
So, yeah. All right.
Okay. Speaking of cats, mine are starting to think that dinner time is come and gone and we're going to be starving forever. And
yep.
Nobody's going to come feed us.
Yes. They were wandering around the kitchen just a moment ago.
Well, Jellybean didn't eat hardly any of his dinner, so now I got to go pick, you know, dry meat chunks off the floor.
Oh, yeah, I know that. Reginald Monchego does that, too.
Oh.
So.
Gross.
They're messy.
Yeah.
And because they have plenty of food, they don't clean up the mess.
Which is what I'm most surprised about, is that I'm sure Ash was full after going to eat his dinner and then eat the rest of Lula's dinner. And I was surprised he didn't go pick up jelly beans.
Your vacuum sweeper, your little Hoover.
Yeah.
Well, two dinners is plenty.
Not for Ashmo.
Okay. He likes more than... He likes to eat. He's a good little boy.
He's a pig.
That's okay. He's pretty.
He's a pain in the ass.
No. No, he's not. He's pretty.
We did a TikTok. It's really not exciting.
No.
We got 128 views so far.
Oh, okay.
That's okay.
Yeah. It wasn't in me today. I'm sorry.
Yeah. But it's in black and white, just like the movie.
Yep. That's always fun to do.
Yeah. I like changing it up.
Yeah. We'll have to plan the next one better.
Yeah. And not have to do a grocery run afterwards so we can put makeup on.
I'm sorry. I forgot it was Thursday. See, this is really unusual. This is a Thursday midnight movie.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I won't be here on the weekend. And it just jumped up on me.
It really did. Like, I was sitting here, like, 5 minutes before you got here, and I pulled the movie up on the PlayStation, and it said, play the trailer, and I'm like, I didn't post the trailer on Facebook. So the trailer has only been on Facebook for as long as we've been talking.
Oh, no. Okay. That's okay. Oops. Oh, well.
Yeah. At some point, I will become professional and you know, be on top of this.
Talking about it. We do. We keep talking about it. It'll happen.
Eventually. It'll happen. We'll get there.
Yeah.
When we grow up.
Well, that will never happen. Lord, I hope not. Oh, well.
All right. Wish Mom safe travels.
Thank you. I will.
And we'll see you in a couple weeks.
Alrighty. Bye.
Bye.